Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Tola, and thanks for tuning in to my East Coast Talk for a 21st Century World. Got a great day planned for you today. It's Throwback Thursday. We are going to throw back to the year 2001. I want to definitely wish well to the families who did experience the pain on 2001, 13 years ago today, of 9/11. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But we do have a special guest here today, fashion designer, stylist, author. You're going to really enjoy this. This is really good. I also want to say thanks to our guests from yesterday, our wellness professionals, Dr. Tom Palucky, his lovely wife, Toni. We're in here yesterday talking wellness. Check it out. Check it out in the archives, latalkradio.com. On my personal page, you'll find that. But let's get started here today with around the globe with the latest news, strange but true. You know, we like to get started with some funky stories here. I'm calling this the cooking crackpot right now. Take a look. This takes place in Rockland, Massachusetts, right? The Massachusetts police have arrested a man who broke into a home and cooked himself a snack. I mean, what the hell is this guy thinking? Yeah, check it out. The homeowner woke up to a loud bang in the kitchen. He went down to investigate. Next thing you know, he asked the guy to leave and he starts scuffling with the guy. And, you know, the police showed up and arrested 69-year-old John Dalton, who was clearly intoxicated. It's funny how most of these events, these strange but true, involve somebody who's pretty wasted. So here we go. Number two, the naked Satan. Did you hear about this one? I mean, what the hell? I mean, that's the question that the Vancouver, Canada locals are asking themselves after a naked, anatomically correct statue of Satan was mysteriously erected, no pun intended, in a local park. Yeah, it's actually erected on a pedestal where Christopher Columbus was. Here's a 9-foot-tall statue with red skin, pointy tail, horns atop its head, actually with a big erection. I took a look at this on the news today. And he was holding up the one hand, giving the devil horn salute, you know, to the heavy metal fans. I mean, that's kind of wild, so I don't know. That's a prank, pretty funky prank over there in Vancouver, leading us to a tragic prank. I mean, this is actually kind of sad. The third story here takes place across the pond in London, England. There was a nurse that was found dead after answering an Australian radio DJ's hoax call to the Royal Baby Hospital. Yeah, it actually took place 2 years ago when Kate was staying at the London King Edward VII's Hospital in 2012. She was treated for morning sickness. She was pregnant with Prince George. But this is what happened. I mean, it's kind of interesting. This DJ, Mel Grieg, female, and her co-host, called the hospital pretending to be the Queen and Prince Philip. Now, the nurse, Jacinta Saldanha, 46, was found dead in the nursing accommodations shortly after she was tricked into telling about what was happening with Kate. I mean, she was very upset. She believed the prank was a genuine call from the Queen. It was all her fault. But, you know, unfortunately, they found the body hanging. This was right before Christmas in 2012, 3 days after the call. And what's interesting, it brings to mind, I don't know if you saw that movie. I love this movie, The Fisher King. It was made in 1991 with Jeff Bridges and Robin Williams. I mean, really good movie. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it. You got to go check it out. I mean, it's you know, Jeff Bridges plays a kind of a wisecracking DJ, kind of, you know, Howard Sternish, where his comments prompt someone to go on a shooting rampage on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, where I was living at the time. And this guy became suicidal. The DJ became suicidal. So what's going on now is this DJ from Australia has got to go to London and kind of deal with it. Fortunately, she is going, and I think, you know, being a good sport about the whole thing. Good. Let's go to number four. And this is kudos to John Stewart. Everybody knows John Stewart. Jersey boy here. Love John Stewart. Last night on The Daily Show, John Stewart had some choice words for the NFL in the wake of the Ray Rice domestic violence scandal. Everybody's seen that video by now, right? Where he hits his now wife and he knocks her out, drags her off the elevator. It's really a funny You know, John Stewart makes fun of this, and here's what he says. He goes, you done fucked up. I mean, Stewart said it, right? Because the Associated Press now reported that a police source had sent the video to the League back in April. Now, the League was saying that they just saw the video, right? They didn't see the video back in April. That's what they're saying. So here, to quote John Stewart, love this. Here's what he says. He says, so you had the tape. And you want us to believe that you did not look at it. Well, I think we're all pretty aware that the NFL's obsessive compulsive tape watching addictions. Right. He goes on to say, for God's sakes, you get 24 angles in high res, slow motion, just to see whether or not a man's knee goes over an imaginary line before his hand crosses a different imaginary line. You know what he's talking about when someone's diving in the end zone. But, you know, kudos to John Stewart. I kind of like that skit. You should take a look at it. It's kind of funny. Way to go, John. All right, here we go. Number five. This is kind of interesting. We're going to back across the pond to London for the researchers from the University College of London said that the obesity crisis could be eased by teaching people, including doctors, that it's counterproductive to discriminate against others because they're overweight. Yeah, no kidding. You shouldn't discriminate against anybody, right? Well, here's what's going on. There was a study done with 3,000 English men and women, age 50 and above, who were weighed, and they were weighed twice, 4 years apart, right? And then they calculated obesity from there, right? And they said, well, there's a lot of stuff they're talking about. They're saying you got to avoid making people feel bad about their weight because the experts say that the people who have gained weight, overweight, have fear of ridicule, and they avoid exercising and eat more because of the ridicule. Yeah, they said 36% of those most overweight, the people that took the study, were definitely treated differently, documented, treated differently. And the slimmer ones were not criticized, where the overweight ones were. Okay, and they also said that doctors spend less time with obese patients because they feel treating obesity is a futile task and they avoid doing it, all right? Well, and then they also go on to say, to ease the crisis, you don't talk about fat, you warn about the risk factors. Well, that's no kidding, people. Forget about calling names and addressing whether or not someone weighs X, Y, or Z. That's all bullshit. What's important here is the health factors, the health risks. And if someone is overweight, if you know you're overweight and you need to cut weight, it's because you want to improve your health. No doubt. Anybody can do it. You got to take it upon yourself. Don't worry about what these jackasses are calling you, what they're saying. Don't go running to the food and not exercising because someone's making fun of you. Forget that. That's all bullshit. You don't need to do that. Go to the health. Do it for yourself. This is about you. It's about the self-respect, taking it upon yourself to improve your life, to improve your health, to make it better, a better experience on this planet, right? Because we only get so many years. So if it's overeating or whatever, don't let people force you to overeat. Don't buy into that bullshit. So there you go. Here we go. Let's get into, speaking of which, getting your shit together. Everybody knows I did a 30-episode podcast called Get Your Shit Together. It's on my website, richtola.com. You can go check it out. Well, I did 30 of these, you know, in a good vein here. But this guy, clearly, we give out the award every day for someone who's got to get their shit together. All right. Now, we're calling this the Distraught John. Why? Okay, this takes place in Seattle, Washington. Check it out. A Seattle man is facing felony assault charges after shooting at two people who interrupted an oral sex session taking place on the street. Yeah, check this out. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, August 26th. You got a man and a woman who are kind of arguing, walking down the street in downtown Seattle, and they see this guy, Paul Hunter, 64-year-old guy wearing a tuxedo, right, with woman on her knees performing oral sex. And the woman, you know, gets startled. She, quote, immediately left. And this guy, this jackass over here, getting serviced by the, you know, he's the John getting serviced. He gets angry and he starts walking away. Okay, but he gets pissed. A half a block later, he turns around and whips out a gun, a 9mm Kel-Tec pistol, and starts shooting. Well, they found one shell casing that matched the gun. And he yells, I'm going to kill you, and opens fire. So what the hell is going on? Clearly, they get the guy highly, quote, highly intoxicated. They booked him in a King County jail, held him on bail for $100,000. Highly intoxicated. Hey, guy, Mr. Hunter over there, you got to get your shit together. First of all, here we go. Highly intoxicated, carrying a gun. I mean, in a gun, in New York City, they throw you in jail. You can't be carrying a gun. Then you start shooting at people because you're the jackass who gets caught doing an illegal action on the street. Well, I don't know what the rules are up in Canada, but, you know, clearly you got to get your shit together. So, hey, buddy, get your shit together. So the award, hands down, goes to our buddies our buddy over there in Seattle. Here we go. Let's move on to Throwback Thursday. It is Thursday, Throwback Thursday. We are going to throw back to 2001. Let's talk a little bit about what was happening in 2001, right? Just some statistics to get you started. Average cost of a new house was $136,000. Oh, my God. I mean, you buy a car for that. Average median income was just over $42,000. And we heard that yesterday's, right? We're up to $51,000. So it's definitely gone up. The average monthly rent was $715. A new car, average new car, was about $25,000. And a stamp, remember, stamps are 34 cents. They've gone up about 40%. A dozen eggs was 90 cents. Now, here's some other facts. Wikipedia, right? The free content encyclopedia service went online. Napster was closed down. Remember, by court order injunction by the Recording Industry Association of America? Yeah, the Russian space station Mir was decommissioned and it landed in the Pacific. Remember, Mars Odyssey, the spacecraft, actually reached Mars on October 24th, 2001. And remember the worm virus, the code red that affected a million websites that were situated on the Microsoft servers? Yeah, it was also the same year that Apple released the iPod and iTunes was launched in January of that year. HP and Compaq merged. Okay, what about the remains of the oldest ancient human? Were found in Ethiopia, right? It dated back 5.5 million years old. I mean, that's how old we are. Microsoft released the Windows XP. Hey, on some other news, I remember this clearly. One of my guys from Kellogg, actually, he went to Kellogg, worked for Enron, went to jail for this. Enron files for bankruptcy. Remember Chapter 11 bankruptcy? Then there was the anthrax attack. Remember several people were infected? By touching the letters, my anthrax, 2001. Here's something cool. The Leaning Tower of Pisa. Well, I'm from Sicily, but in Italy, you know, the Leaning Tower of Pisa was reopened after 11 years to repair it to stop it from falling over. There you go. Remember foot and mouth disease? That was in the UK. It was found after 20 years. And how about this? Remember this guy, the shoe bomber, Richard Reed. Tried to blow up American Airlines plane. I mean, we give him the Get Your Shit Together award. And on some sad news, and I remember this. I still have a visual of this event happening. Dale Earnhardt, right? He won a record 7 NASCAR championships. He died in a last lap crash during Daytona 500 at the Daytona International Speedway. And if anybody's ever seen that, it's like you got to ask yourself, it's like, how did that happen? I mean, it was an interesting crash. So that was kind of, that was sad, but I'll tell you, it was like, how did that happen? All right, here we go. Let's talk about popular films. I mean, what was going on in the film world in 2001? Here's what was happening. Remember Shrek, Harry Potter, and Lord of the Rings, right? Remember Monsters, Inc. came out. Ocean's 11, right, with Clooney, Brad, and the gang. Remember Training Day with Denzel? Oh, that was awesome. Ethan Hawke. How about Pearl Harbor, Ben Affleck, Kate Beckinsale? Hannibal came out then, Anthony Hopkins, Julianne Moore, remember that? Monsters Ball, ooh, that was heavy, with Billy Bob Thornton, Halle Berry. Planet of the Apes, remember the first, with director Tim Burton, Mark Wahlberg was in that. And A Beautiful Mind, that was an amazing film, right, with Russell Crowe and Jennifer Connelly. But who won the award that year? This was one of my favorite movies of all time, for sure, one of my top 10, and probably top 5, was Gladiator. Russell Crowe's Gladiator earned Best Picture. Now, Gladiator came out on May 5th, 2000, but as you know, it was given the award in 2001. It basically won across the board. It won everything, right? It won Best Picture and everything. It had 5 Academy Awards that it won. I think it was nominated for another 7. I think it was a total of 12, and then it won 5. So, great year for film. How about music? What was happening in the music world? Remember Aaliyah? Yeah, this was a big year too. Christina Aguilera, Janet Jackson, Destiny's Child, U2, Alicia Keys. Remember Dido? Yeah, and Creed. I remember Creed. How about Britney Spears? Britney Spears came out with her 3rd album and she went to number 1. I think she was the first female artist to go to number 1 with her top first 3 albums. No kidding. Suge Knight. Remember, Suge Knight got out of jail after 5 years. You're supposed to spend seven. I think he got out early. Missy Elliott, REM were hitting it then. And then J-Lo. Here's an interesting fact. J-Lo had the number one album and the number one movie, The Wedding Planner, in the same week. Yeah, pretty cool year for music. How about television? What was happening in TV land? Now, I used to watch Boston Public. Oh, I love that series. Survivor, The Amazing Race, Fear Factor. That's when all, you know, these reality-type competition shows were hitting it. The Simpsons, I mean, forever, of course. ER, Friends, Judge Judy. Everybody knows that, right? South Park and King of the Hill. Remember, Sex and the City was big. Yeah, Dawson's Creek, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. How about The West Wing? It was Will and Grace, Futurama, Family Guy. Remember the series 24 began in 2001. Scrubs began, The Office, and Lizzie McGuire. Yeah, there were some really good ones. And, of course, everybody remembers The Sopranos. So 2001, there you go. And also, you know, on a more sad note, 2001 is simply known as 9/11, right? Everybody knows that. And if you want to read about that, I wrote a whole chapter. I dedicated a chapter in my memoir, Simply Between Millions, From Wall Street to Hollywood. I dedicated a chapter 43, and it's titled 9/11. I'm just going to read you this. This is pure factual. On September 11th, 2001, 19 hijackers simultaneously took control of four U.S. domestic planes. The hijackers crashed two planes into the World Trade Center. There were two towers, Tower 1 and Tower 2 in Manhattan, New York City. And again, one into each of the tallest towers. Within 2 hours, both towers collapsed. The hijackers crashed the third aircraft into the U.S. Department of Defense headquarters, also known as the Pentagon. The fourth plane crashed into a rural field in Somerset County, Pennsylvania, following apparent passenger resistance. Well, I was on the 39th floor on 39th and Madison. That's where our offices were. I was in a real estate company there. And there was a balcony there, and I watched the whole thing on the balcony with binoculars. One of the guys in the office was an Israeli paratrooper, and he had these amazing binoculars. So it was, I could go back to that day at this particular moment, transport myself back, and it was a horrific day, and it's a day that changed everything. So for anyone out there, it was definitely a time to grieve, and it changed us, made us stronger for the future. But again, sending well wishes to all the families that were affected. Everyone out there. Let's just take a moment of silence for that. So here we go, folks. Let's move right into the health tip of the day. Right, let's talk about a little health and fitness here, because of course I love fitness. And Valeria, our guest, is going to be here any moment. I see her in there now. She's going to be coming in. But let's get into a little health and fitness. Yesterday, you may recall, we covered Chaturanga Dandasana, yoga push-up. Today, we're going to stay with the same kind of yoga theme. This is one of my favorite poses of all time, favorite yoga pose. And again, if you want to learn more about 100 different yoga poses, I did this video encyclopedia of yoga poses, all filmed throughout the streets of Hollywood, called the Yoga Survival Guide. It really does. It gives you basically everything you need to know about that pose, a particular pose, the 100 most popular ones. And this one, my favorite, the Sanskrit term is called Virabhadrasana 2. What's that mean? Warrior 2. Everybody knows Warrior 2, right? Everybody thinks they know Warrior 2. Most people, again, as I said yesterday, you probably like 80% of people don't really know what the body's supposed to be doing in Warrior 2. And here's what's great about this practice of yoga. This is a pose that you could do anytime, anywhere. And when I say that, anybody of any size, age, anything can be doing a Warrior 2 pose to strengthen their body, to calm, relax, all the above. You could be doing this standing on the street corner, standing in the park, standing in your living room. This is a great pose, people. It makes you stronger. So what's it all about? Whenever I teach this pose, you got to be thinking this. You got to build it from the ground up. It's a foundation pose. You want to build it from the ground up. So first thing you want to think about is when you come into the pose, what are my feet doing all the way up through the crown, right? And that knee, let's say we're on the right side. It's the front knee. The right knee is tracking forward, straight forward, right? It's at a right angle. We talk about 90 degrees. So that right knee is at a right angle. Now, when you're at that right angle, you're sort of spread wide. The back leg is straight, and you want to be edging on the outside of that foot. Hey, Valeria, she just walked in. We're going to get you going in just 1 minute. So check it out. You got the front leg tracking, knee tracking forward, right angle. Back leg is straight, but you're flushing. You're edging over the backside of that foot, so you're not rolling that foot up, right? It's going to be flushed to the ground. Your hips now are facing sideways versus Warrior One. The hips are facing forward. Warrior Two, the hips are facing sideways. You got to imagine there's a wall behind you. So behind your back, there's a wall. Now, the torso is positioned so that it's perpendicular to the ground, right? So think about that. Torso's at right angles to the ground. Your arms are outstretched, right? When we talk about the arms, I always make the analogy. You got to imagine you're in a lake. So the waters are resting on top of the arms are resting on top of the water. It gives you a chance to relax your shoulders. Spread your fingers really wide. We talk about the gaze. Where are you looking? You want to turn your head so your chin's pointing forward. Trying to listen with your ear to that wall behind you. You got to really turn that neck so you're gazing over the middle finger. It's called your drishti. That's what the gaze means. And again, you got to relax best you can. You want to stay high energy, but you want to relax, reaching the crown high to the sky. And again, that torso, you're not reaching forward. Most people, they want to kind of reach forward. Imagine you're being pulled equally. Someone's grabbing your middle fingers and kind of tugging equally from the front and the back. And you got to pull through the core, people. I say this all the time. Imagine there's a string attached to your belly button. Someone's pulling it from the rear. Again, relax, soften into this pose, sink into it, get to that right angle, and don't tense up. You got to let this pose do the work. So there you go, health tip of the day, Warrior 2, Virabhadrasana 2. On that note, let's say hello to Valeria Goncharova Barrett. Hey, Valeria.
Hi. How are you, Rich?
I'm awesome. I'm talking a little fast, but let me give a little quick introduction about this woman. This is a really cool gal here, and she interviewed me recently. Fashion designer, stylist, image consultant, certified holistic life coach, author. And let me tell you a little bit more about her. Belarusian-American fashion designer with a unique lifestyle called Revolution. It offers an integrated process designed to help one reach a conscious state of being. I love that. Through a harmonious balance of four aspects of well-being. And what does she call them? The spirit, the body, diet, and appearance. And on that note, Valeria, welcome to Tola Talks.
Thank you, Rich. It's great to be here.
Thanks for coming in. So there's a lot going on with you and some of your clients, some well-known clients, Walt Disney, Paramount, Redken, Linda Evans, John Barrymore, Casual Coin. The list goes on and on and on. So tell me, I mean, you've worked with a lot of great companies and stars, and how you're impacting lives.
You know, I entered the fashion industry at a very young age. Actually, it was back in the Soviet era, deep in a very dark.
Dark time when you were like 3 years old. You were young, right?
Yes,
well,
I just started crawling, you know, in my life.
right.
But and there was a lot of communistic propaganda, of course, since you're very little. Mm. And so I remember I saw my first magazines, fashion magazines, and I was fascinated. It's like, wow, this is gorgeous. Whatever it is, I want to do that. Mm. And so, you know, since then, I guess I had that subtle penetration into the industry. I went to the universities of fine arts and art history, and so I went through the arts first, since my mom and my dad, they are both art professors. Mm-hmm. So arts was running and is running in my blood, but the appearance was always fascinating to me, because since very young age, I realized that consciously or unconsciously, people speak with their visuals, with their appearance. That's the silent communicator, and the fastest, because first time you see the person, you're basically already estimating how long you're going to communicate with the person, will you ever see them again, and so you will estimate, you know, what kind of class, what kind of a lifestyle. You literally do all that calculations in your head.
The mind does that.
Mind, right. But then you also have a gut feeling. Mm. So it's kind of a simultaneous effect on you, mm-hmm. the appearance. So that's why it was always fascinating to me.
Yeah, I mean, they said that, right? Everybody, it's the first thing you experience, and then you sort of process it.
Trust your first instincts.
Yeah, trust your first instincts, but sometimes we judge, right? We may judge based on that.
But that's exactly.
But you have an interesting appearance, I will say. I've seen Valeri maybe, what, 4 or 5 times now, and each time you're monochromatic. Is that the right word?
Actually, or, not necessarily.
Not exactly.
I'm solid colors.
Solid
actually,
colors.
Yes, and basically it is also a lifestyle that dictates that, and I'm writing that. Actually, I wrote that. I'm sorry, in my book that I published last year. It's about the color coordinated lifestyle that also affecting your diet, your exercise, as well as your fashion. So, if you go to my closet at home, people who when they walk in, they start to laugh because they see specific color coordination. So I have green section of the closet, blue section, and usually they have also a sort of a system. What time, what, you know, what
when,
I wear.
So tell me about that. I mean, so what do you believe in terms of the one color? Because most people, they're trying not to be, right, with one color. They're like, oh, I got to, I look too.
Yeah.
But I mean, with one color, especially if you're wearing all black, right, you definitely look a lot leaner.
Yeah.
But what's the, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, there is a lot of misconception. I have to say, ignorance is the worst enemy that I think hits our globe. You know, it's just people don't know much about fashion, real fashion, not commercial one. And so it has deep roots. Appearance. You go to ancient Rome, you go to native Indians, you just check any nation and the history behind their appearances. Everything was for a reason. So that's where I come from, and actually my new book coming up hopefully this year or next year about specifically fashion and new age fashion, where I will talk about my projections on what future fashion will be based on our economic situations and how emotionally and intuitively people change in this world. So, but basically, yes, there is a certain belief, you can call it metaphysics. Some people are afraid of that word. Let's say natural forces, where you can experience certain vibrations, certain projections of the natural forces. I always try to kind of like translate from one language to another, and then also kind of a little bit make it more understandable what I'm trying to say. But basically, we have different spectrum of colors that are actually projected from the universe, let's say, to our planet. And there is a system. If you look at the ray of light, it has a structure, it has a system, it has a certain ray of color in a certain order. Yet it creates white light to our eye, right? Even though we can, you know, argue about the eye, you know, how contradicting it is what colors we see, as some animals don't see certain colors. Yes, that's true. But on that level, on that three-dimensional vibrational level, yes, we do get affected by colors. So if you go through the consumer reports, even they talk about that majority of consumers buy the products. 95%, I was shocked, was by color. So color creates emotion. Right. And if people start to pay attention to it, they realize that. If I walk into the room and I wear a certain color, you will instantly have a reaction to me, some kind of reaction that you associate with that specific color. So that's your subjective reaction to it. But then there is a more objective effect of color on us. So, for example, I in my book, I talk about each day and what color is dominating in that day. And that's what color I dress, because I want to be in resonance, in balance with the nature.
So each day has a... So today is green. She's wearing... that's green, correct?
Yeah.
unless there's another name for it. That's very...
Emerald.
It's emerald green. Yeah, your colors are very vibrant, I will say. I've seen you in red. I've seen you in blue. I've seen you in green. I've seen you in white.
Yes.
You definitely... And so you're saying every day of the week, Every day has a different. So today's Thursday, so it's Emerald Green Thursday. Is it always green? Does it change?
I can't tell everything because I have to kill you.
then you're gonna. I have to read the book.
Yes, you have to read the book to find out.
It's
details
a cool looking book,
that.
By the way. Yeah, Valeria has a really cool look. So
thank you.
Yeah, you should check it out. This book is called. Read the book. I'm looking at it now. Valeria, it's a Rovolution.
Valeria Rovolution, living life consciously.
Because that's what this is about. You're really bringing fashion into someone's consciousness, mm-hmm. and saying that let's use fashion to communicate to the world.
As a vehicle. It's a communication vehicle. Unfortunately, undervalued, how would I say it? It's just so superficial these days that I understand. But then you can, anything could be superficial if you think about it. Even science now, you know, served to us on a platter with sugar powder, you know, everything could be transformed in something, how would I say it? Yeah, superficial, probably the best way.
So when you help people, I mean, let's talk a little bit more about that, because you go into people's closets, right? I mean, a lot of people there. There's no doubt. A lot of guys, especially guys, you know, if you're wearing a suit every day, you go to the store, you buy your suits. But a lot of people are challenged with what they're wearing when they're going out, or just to be stylish. Everybody kind of tries. But LA is a little bit different. You got the flip flops and the shorts all the time. But when you go into someone's closet, do you just sort of rip it apart and say, this is all wrong? Or do you take what they have and you like, okay, let's rearrange it so that you make it easy for them?
Well, what puts me apart with any other designer, stylist, fashion expert? Oh, certainly now anything goes. These days, everybody's a photographer. Everybody's a designer. Everybody's a grand artist without any proof of it. So surely it is a lot of amateurs, dilettantes, do I say it correctly?
Yep,
dilettantes everywhere. As long as you have a financial backer or sponsor, you're good. So that's the problem, where we spread a lot of bad quality, unprofessional people who claim to be experts. So I have to say that to go to somebody's closet and start ripping apart, that's pretty primitive.
Right.
It's totally unprofessional, I would say, at least. Mm. But a lot of stylists and designers do that. And their agenda, and I write about it a little bit in the book. Actually, I scratched it off when I wrote what I really think about it, because I didn't want to be, beat up in the head in the next quarter.
right.
But, every designer or stylist, just like any businessman, wants to make money on you. Oftentimes they don't care about how you feel, what you want gonna look like. It's not about you, really. I'm sorry, I'm not gonna go about talking about schools, which and teachers and stuff these days. It's another thing. But basically, designers, stylists, like hairstylists, they have to be psychologists, because you work with people's souls. A lot of times people don't feel comfortable, you know, to undress or change something. It's private, you know. They don't want to change that, because, you know, we eat and we change our hair, we dress. It makes us feel comfortable. So obviously, to let another person trust me, I have to get closer to them. I'm not saying I have to get into their head, because that's exactly what I don't want to do. I want to actually elevate the best in them. That's what I believe originally the designer stylist should do. Their goal was to help that individual, not push another label,
right.
Make that celebrity my PR point, where I will be propelled to another celebrity and then I'm in the magazines. That's the problem that I think now majority of people really focusing on. You know, they see it as a highway 101, you know, to get me famous. It's all about ego. But in the end, you know, I believe that it's about people. That's why when I had my company, mass production company in New York, I was still limited production line, but I just didn't enjoy to mass produce, you know, hundreds of things. I just think that's not the way to go. Okay, maybe in the future it would be the option, but I do like custom. I like interaction with people, and of course I have to give a little bit of my energy to people to help them. And you believe it or not, people are affected when they look in a mirror and they see themselves differently.
Now, when you say custom, do you mean you're making clothes for them, or do you mean you're sort of Well, you're not buying the mass production.
I'm multi-talented. I'm jack of all trades. I can build shoes. I can build suits. I can do the jackets. I mean, certainly I can do all that. Now, it's not as I'm a seamstress and tailor, and it would take me probably a little longer, but certainly I will do that. But however, the beauty of it, one thing is to be a great craftsman, be good at your craft, and another one to be a visionary. So those two things not always together. So if I have both of them, sure, I want to utilize it. But since I have experience affecting people on a much higher level that I would just sit in front of a sewing machine and just sew, I have something more to offer. So yes, if I can go in the closet and if I talk to that actress or that public figure, certainly if I can affect their life and say, look, you know, you are the main focus. Matter of fact, forget about the labels. What do you want? Don't let somebody dictate you how you should look, because majority of us are victims of the mass market.
Really.
Mass market, yeah. Media that forces you to look a certain way and do certain things. Use this toothpaste.
Well, I've seen you in. If you go to your website, there's a lot of photos of some of the clothes are like science fiction almost, right? I mean, it's really cool. You make a statement. There's no doubt. When you come in the room, people observe you. And they're like, you must be making those clothes, right? I mean, because you're not seeing those anywhere.
Yeah, a lot of times, believe it or not, I like styling because it's kind of like you repurposing things. I used to design, produce like any other designers 22 years ago. That's when I started my first dress and pair of shoes that I produced, actually a little more than that. But but then, you know what I realized? Producing is not always the best way to go. I think we should use what we have. So that's why oftentimes when I'm contacted by some actresses or ladies who have weddings or any kind of events, they want to look spectacular and so forth, I kind of try to convert them a little bit and say, look, instead of building something, you know, why wouldn't we look at your closet? If you don't have something, let's go and see around. You know, maybe we can, maybe your friend or somebody has this and that. Because I think that, you know, if you can use what you have, and believe me, 85% at least of women and men have it all in the closets. They just don't know how to assemble it.
Right.
That's all there is.
No doubt. Yeah, they don't know what to do with it. And then what happens is if you purchase something, I'm the same. I mean, there's things in my closet where I purchase them and they sit there for 6 months and then you sort of forget about it and you don't have the same confidence in going to that because you haven't worn it. And I always do this twice a year, every 6 months. If you haven't worn it, I give it another 6 months and move it to this other area of my closet. Then if I haven't worn it in a year, I give it away without a doubt. I give it away because at that point I'm thinking but someone like you could come in and say, well, wait a minute, Rich, this is what you could do with it. But I don't really have that imagination. I kind of keep it simple. I like my T-shirts, my black suits, whatever. But no, most people, especially guys, I mean, guys out there, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You got all sorts of, you might have pants in there with the pleats and the pleats aren't in, but you know, you like them, but you stop wearing them. But maybe there's something you could do with it. So you're not saying, hey, let's go shopping, spend $3,000 to get you something to wear to
opposite
that.
Opposite of it.
Yeah, the opposite. So you're educating, and then you're giving them confidence, and then you're saying, hey, this is now an alternative, what you can go to in the future, right? Because ladies especially, they're always buying things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's one of my goals is always to help people. And I don't mind to educate for free because a lot of people think, well, I have to charge them for everything. No, I don't think so. Because in my final goal, yes, is to help rather than capitalize on it, you know. So it depends what your motivation is. So yeah, I love to. And a matter of fact, I think that should be a free education, you know. Some basic aesthetics and ethics, you know, good manners should come free. But sorry, maybe I'm talking because I was born in communist country.
No, I mean, I do it. I do it with fitness. I put out these 150 videos on YouTube-ish where it's like, hey, I want to teach people to, whether it's to educate them to do it on their own. Like, hey, if you're not a gym person, you're not a yoga person, that's okay. Yeah. If you can educate yourself, you don't have to spend a lot of money for it.
Exactly.
It's the same thing I think you're saying is, hey, you've got this closet. Most women, I mean, whether they're 30s, 40s, 50s, doesn't matter what age, you're accumulating things I mean, my mother's into shoes, all right? She's got shoes and handbags. I mean, my mother used to have shoes from like the 60s. And I remember, like, awesome with the clogs and the cycles. They get cycled back and she gives them away. And I'm like, you know, you should hold on because they'll come back. But I think what happens is she loses the vision of when do I put these on?
That's right. That's why you'd never, ever go random shopping.
Never go random shopping. Let's expound
on
that.
It has to be structured to things.
So it's like, hey, I'm going out for a purpose. It's not, let's go shopping to feel good. Yeah. You don't want to eat the chocolate cake. Yeah. Let me go buy a blouse.
It's like going without list to grocery. It's actually proven. It was recently in the news that when people go without the list and goal or agenda to supermarket, they spend twice as much. Same with shopping for clothes. When girls get together, fun shopping, that's the worst thing they can do because it's absolute waste of money and time. Most of the times, they come home, oh, why did I buy that? What is this? And it's just...
Just goes in the closet with the tag on it, right, ladies?
Yeah, exactly.
It sits there, and then six months later...
What a waste of money, resources, and time. And certainly, like everything in life, when you have no system, it's a chaos, you know?
No, I
agree
with
that. When you have structure, you are faster and more efficient. I pull my clothes out of the closet 10 minutes, and I'm done.
That's it.
I don't need...
Do you do it the night before, or do you do it that... You just boom, out of the shower. You don't know what you're...
I pretty much do because, you know, since I said, you know, for the last 22 years, I had, you know, a lot of experience, so I know it by heart. You wake me up in the middle of the night, and I'll tell you stuff.
I don't know if we're going to wake you up in the middle of the night, by the ear. We'll tell you stuff in the middle. That's cute. So how about this diet? You talk about diet, right? Spirit, I understand that, the body appearance. Mm-hmm. But where's the diet come in? And then how do you help folks there?
Well, absolutely. And you probably will certainly agree with me here. To look good, you have to eat well. That's all there is to it. And when you have a good body because you eat right, the diet is clean, then you want to look, you want to dress beautiful. It's all about self-consciousness, but it's also about loving yourself. So diet, you can't have a makeover, or you can't improve your life without diet. It's just another component that has to come. So that's why, for example, in my book, I'm talking about everything has a consecutive, it has a consecutive approach. So first comes spirit. You have to heal your spirit first of all.
Oh, I definitely believe that's important. You get your arms around that, folks. Yeah. That's where it all starts. Exactly. First, loving yourself, being confident, clear-minded, no question, no chatter.
So I write about, I have a little technique that I'm teaching here that comes from Native Indians and Buddhists, and I should patent it probably at some point, but I figured I'm not greedy on my ideas, so at least for now.
At least for now, I like that.
Yeah, but...
So focus on the spirit first, and
yes,
then it goes to the body?
It goes to the body. It's about working with your body, meaning healing all your cluttered chakra centers and all kinds of blockages that you have and so forth, and get it in the physical shape as well. Because, you know, healthy spirit... Sure, could be in an unhealthy body, but oftentimes it's hard to really be productive and efficient if your vehicle is broken. You know, you could be the sweetest person in the world, but if you sit in a broken car on the freeway, you know, you don't do anything. So that's kind of a same kind of way. You know, you need your body in a good shape, the best you can.
No doubt.
And so, and then it transforms us to the diet where you, it's your fuel. If you throw in your car a bunch of trash and say, now go run. It's going to say, no, I want a good gas here. So it's a must. And then we go to a final packaging, a wrapping. The wrapping that represents who you are. Certainly you can take somebody else's appearance. And, you know, a lot of people, copy monkey or whatever they call it, monkey copying everybody or magazines or celebrities. Well, you're just wearing somebody else's life on you. Do you really want to live somebody else's life? Why wouldn't you just cherish and respect yourself and, you know, celebrate yourself by being who you are? But you need help. A lot of times people don't know how to express it. I don't know what I am. I don't know. So you have to help them to find out who you are, you know.
Now, I love that because no doubt you could do the spirit, the body, the diet. You get it all together. But putting the appearance together, a lot of people, they don't even have the confidence. Like One person said to me, I wear my clothes tighter, right? And when I was younger, I used to wear them like all loosey-goose. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was the whole 80s Miami Vice thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm confident with my body. I like to wear my clothes the way I wear my clothes. I don't really care what the latest trends are doing. And you kind of be cool with it. But you got to find it with yourself, right? You got to kind of search. And a lot of people don't even know. Like, they see the styles, but, you know, your body's not the same, so you may not be wearing that skirt. Here's another thing, and then correct me if I'm wrong. This I know from all my lady friends out there, that women dress for other women, not for the men. Like, when a woman's getting rocked out in her outfit, she's going out there to up for almost in a competitive nature to kind of rock the house for other women.
You know, it's like anything in life, it has a staircase. It's like many levels. Okay, so what first level, you want to attract the boys. Second level, now you're competing with the women. Now when you get a little more mature, you go to a third level, the next level, where you actually start realizing it's for me. So it's like staircase effect, as I call it. You know, it's like it exists in every aspect of our life. So we're all going through a certain level. Now we step to the next.
Next.
So it's just...
You want to evolve to that third level.
Yeah, everything has a structure and system. And only by turning inward, inside, you can start discovering how the system works. So nothing is out of order or chaotic, you know. Everything is there. We just have to decide to pay attention. Become an observer of who you are. Then everything becomes, like, understood. Makes sense. So certainly, you know, a lot of people, they just go by inertia. They just autopilot, as I mentioned in my book.
They're being pulled in this direction.
Yeah, they're just an autopilot.
One of the earlier stories, you see a little variety type show here, talk about the obesity. Now, what happens with a woman who is a larger woman, or maybe in her day, she said, hey, I used to work out, I used to this or that. She gained 50, 60 pounds. That's common today, no doubt. And and the closet needs to be kind of reworked a little bit. But, I mean, she doesn't have the confidence. Now, okay, you're saying spirit, body, diet. But let's say they don't really have it all together. They desire it, and you're going to put them on the right path. But today, you still want that woman to walk out the door and be smiling, be standing up tall with the posture, feeling good. I mean, is that a challenge for you to overcome that?
You know, I know a lot of people going through a lot of rough stretches in life, and a lot of them eat and kind of satisfy themselves through food, and so they just kind of get out of control. And, you know, I understand that. Now, however, some people who are overweight, they have sicknesses, disbalance in their body, and that's why they are. But the point is here, you're a warrior. Become a warrior in your life, because if you don't care, who will? No matter what you're facing, and it's rough, it's tough, I know, because I have to fight sometimes, be a warrior in my life to fight with my little ego demons, you know. But a lot of times it's all in you. You know, even if ladies go through depression or through the diseases, the divorce, loss of a child, no matter what the reasons are in this life, even wheelchair ladies, I swear to you, it's about strength of the spirit. Okay, if that woman really wants to have a certain life and looks a certain way, she will do everything, what it takes. But if she looks for excuses, nothing will
happen.
Forget
about it.
Nobody will serve you anything on a platter for you, because it's your job to take care of you. I can't fix your body and make you slimmer if you don't want to. I can offer you to wear this or change your hair or this or that. But if you don't want it, it's not going to look right. You're not going to be comfortable, and you just rebel against it, and then nothing I can do. It's your choice. Always. You have to want it.
There's an expression I always used when I was a kid. You got to want a bunt. So, Eric, when you were a baseball player, they give you the bunt. Most kids, they don't want a bunt. I want to swing away. No. When you get the bunt, you got to take it inside. I want to bunt, right? Because when you want to do it, you're going to do it well. Bunting, it's so simple, but it's so hard. It's the same thing, ladies. Hey, we did Warrior 2 today as health and fitness. What Valeria's saying is the same. Take charge of your life. Believe in yourself. Know you can make the change, but take it inside of you. Take it inside your spirit and say, hey, I'm a warrior. I'm going to be a warrior. Forget about what anybody's calling you, whatever. And forget about how much you weigh or what you look like today. You can change that. There's no doubt. And then bringing these into your life is going to change your life. I mean, fashion definitely. I mean, I feel it. When I got the right clothes on, there's no doubt. I mean, That's since I was a kid. You know, when I was a little kid, I used to share clothes with my brother, but silk shirts were in the big then, and I loved it. My father would dress us really good. That was his thing. He said, you don't need a lot of clothes, but you're going to look great every day. You're going to walk out
style,
that door.
I would say style, right, style, even because fashion got so commercial, out of control, it's production of clothes, nothing more than that. So it's more like personal style. That's why I call it appearance. I sometimes say it fashion, but it just sounds so shallow.
No, you're right. Fashion is a big bad wolf out there. It's not about, it's an individual style.
Yeah.
And we're like, again, I said it yesterday, we're like snowflakes. So that's what you do too. Exactly. I'm sure you're going in and you're impressing upon him as a woman. I mean, you look great. You're in great shape. So you definitely stay fit, right? You've been
there. Yeah, I'm trying my best.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job of it. You're trying your best. Well, Valeria, we got just a couple minutes left. I do a thing called the Fast Five, but I do want to say thank you so much. It's a really cool book, folks. Take a look. There's some pictures in there. Is there like a picture book in there?
Yes, absolutely.
I got to go through
that.
I have
a couple of images of, I have a recipes with pictures and, I have the couple of fashion ideas.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, quick read. Looks like a quick. You should see her work. You got to go. Tell them the website because there's some great stuff on there.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit refreshed right now, so it's a little bit under construction, but it should be on and running pretty quickly. It's still there. You can check it out at www.valeria-revolution.com.
There you go, folks. Go check it out. We're going to do a quick fast five here. So real quick, I want you to just the first thing that comes to your mind, say the answer. It's A or B. We'll get a little flavor for your personality. Here we go. Number one, chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Chocolate.
All right. I probably would have guessed vanilla on you. Number two, tropical island or New York City?
Tropical island.
Ooh,
of course.
Wait a minute. With all that fashion, you look like you just stepped out walking down the street on Fifth Avenue.
I had plenty of New York City in my life.
You've had enough of that. Good. How about this? I think I know this. Ancient Rome or the Wild West?
Yes, you're right on that one. Ancient Rome,
of course. They got to go to Ancient Rome, right. Number four, tearjerker or action thriller?
Tearjerker.
Tearjerker, like a cry movie.
Ah, or thriller, like a or killing thrill, of blood.
Yeah,
oh,
action.
No. First, yes,
tearjerker, I see that. Yeah. All right, our final question is candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
Candlelight dinner.
Of course, you're going to be romantic and all down.
I'm a girl after all.
Of course. Well, Valeria, thanks so much for joining me today. This was awesome. And hey, folks, you know my website. It's richtola.com, and that's me. I'm Rich Tola. And remember, dreams do come true, but hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.